Thank you for tuning in to our weekly message at Kennedy Road Tabernacle. My name is Jamie Stewart, and I'm the lead pastor. Join us now for a message in progress.
Pastor Jamie was going away, and he scheduled us to preach, and today was scheduled for me. And then I said, Lord, this is Palm Sunday. What am I going to say to your house? And God has a sense of humor, actually, when he wants you to come and bring his words to the house. About last Tuesday, I went home. My routine is now that I go home since Mari is not home. I enter to the house and I cook my meal since I don't eat leftovers. So I like fresh, so I cook it, the size of me, whatever that size is. And it's not the size of Jamie, though, by the way. So smaller. And then I eat. Then because I'm at school, so I hit the books and study a little bit. And that took me roughly to 11:30 at night. Our sitting room look over the street that we live on. It's a long street, so I don't know why. I opened the blinds, and it was a beautiful night. It was a foggy night. You know, when there is fog, the light spreads around into the fog and looks gorgeous. The street looked so peaceful and calm. There was nobody walking through it. There was no car driving. See, Mari and I, we have been many times in our lives alone by ourselves, and most of my life I've been alone, but very rarely I feel lonely. See, there's a difference between alone and being lonely. So that night, all of a sudden, a huge sense of loneliness came upon me that I never experienced it before. And then I made a statement like this. I said, as if the whole world has left. And as that came out of my mouth, I said, wow, that is a title of a book in the making. And then let me tell you, I can talk. Some of you can say amen. But I have a hard time to write things and eventually write something. When I have an assignment or a project, I have to really, really work hard to write something and present it to the professor or so on and so forth. But with that statement that came out of my mouth, I took a pad of paper and started to write. So that first line was, as if the whole world has left. At 2:30 in the morning, I found myself, I am almost at page 14. So I quit, went to bed. The next day when I home, the same routine. And then I said, let me see what I have written the night before. Without exaggeration, 8 pages out of the 14, it was all about Mari, my wife. As I read through it, something dawned on me. I said, how is it that when we are apart, we love each other so much and we have a lot to say to each other, but we cannot say it when we are sitting next to each other? And then the Holy Spirit put in my heart to turn it the other way. I say, how is it the God that is a lover of our soul, the God who is a provider, a keeper, a savior of our soul, and he's so much in love with us, and we claim that we are so much in love with him, and yet we have a hard time to express our love and our worship to him. And then this passage of a scripture came to my mind. And if you be gracious today, in honor of God's word and in awe of his goodness and his righteousness, could you stand to your feet? Let's read this scripture together. It is found in the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 36 and after. It says, now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to this Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other one 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. She wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered here has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loved little." Then Jesus turned to the woman and said, "Your sins are forgiven." Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that it bear fruit in our minds and our hearts. And Holy Spirit, have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. Today, I link my arm with the arm of a woman right there, you see? That is me, believe it. It's not Omar Sharif, it is me. Isn't she gorgeous? She was 17 years old and I was 19. She was a supply teacher teaching my brother. I went to check on him. I checked on myself, I guess. At the corner of my eyes, I saw this check and I went to her. I said, "Hey, girl, I know you're going to be my wife. What do you think?" And then she looked at me as if I'm a crazy guy. I said, "Well, you have 2 weeks to figure me out. Let's date for 2 weeks. We'll see what happens." Boys, listen to me. We met for 2 weeks, and then at the end of the second week, she said if she could have one more week. I said, "Sure." We met for 3 weeks now, Pastor. At the end of the third week, she said she thinks I am the guy too. I said, "Okay, girl." That's right. I said, "Okay, girl, now, I don't know if you know any other boys or you have known any other boys, but I am a different kind of boy. This is what we are going to do now. You go to your mom and dad, ask them permission that I come and I talk to them." So I went to the house and I told her dad, "Sir, I want your daughter. Your daughter wants me. What do you think?" That was December 14, 1974. Most of you were not born then. So, and then I said, "Sir, March 24th, we are going to get married. And I do this, I do that, I do that." At the end, he said, "And you figure it all by yourself." I said, "Yes, sir." Then I felt he's not impressed by me, Ken. So I turned to him. I said, "Sir, now it is December 14th. Till March 24th, I'm not going to see your daughter anymore." And he put his chest up and said, "Why not?" I said, "Well, I think your daughter is a good girl, but I'm not sure about me, so I better stay away." He tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Son, you and I, we are going to get along just fine." You see, boys, there is a way to do it. This girl showed me and taught me how to love. Friends, I was born in a family of 14 boys. Mom and Dad, they wanted to have a girl, so they get added. No girls came out. 14 of me, you can say that one of you is more than enough, but 14 of us came. We had our own soccer team, our own coach, and our own substitution. In the name, if somebody picked on one of us, 13 more was there to deal with it. So, Mom and Dad, they were great people, awesome people. They provided for us abundantly. We had shelter, we had food, we had clothing, we had the most recent toys that was available at the time, you know, making cars out of the clay and all stuff. With all their goodness and all their provision that they had, they didn't know how to express their love to us. So we grew up not knowing how to express our love toward each other. Mom and Dad, if you're sitting here today, it is good to provide for your children. It is good to buy them toys. It is good to put clothes on their back. But you know what is better? If you put your arms around them and tell them how much you love them, how good they are, the plans of God for them. See, Dad, as good as he was, we were not ever, ever good enough for him. How many of you sitting here say that? Yeah, it's my story too. Have you ever been in a situation that someone told you that you will not amount to anything? You are not good enough. You're worth nothing. And those words kept ringing in your ears and almost messed you up. I was just like, I was that boy that got messed up. At age 16, I stood on a chair to do something that no one should do. No one should ever come to that place. But as I was standing there, and I'm not sharing the graphics of it, but Jesus walked to that room, pointed his finger at me and said, "Son, you don't have to do that. I love you." I walked off that chair, and since then, my life never been the same because somebody loved me, and that somebody is God, the creator of all. And the same God is in love with you, and he has a plan for your life this afternoon. Let's get back to this story now. Here is a girl. In the Jewish culture, let me teach you some cultural lessons, and then we'll get to the story properly. In the Jewish culture and my culture, when a boy becomes 13 years of age, he becomes a man. At that point, we gather the family together. We pronounce over his life to the whole family. We say, "Son, as of tomorrow, you are not a little boy anymore. You are a man. You have responsibilities, and there will be consequences to your decisions." And then, as a son, the father will give him his inheritance in writing, that what he is going to get. When the girls become age of 13, we do the same thing. We gather all the women of the family together, and we pronounce over this girl, "As of tomorrow, honey, you are not my little girl anymore. You are a woman as of tomorrow, and you are responsible." And then the mother will give this girl something for her future. In this particular case, the mother gave this little girl a jar of a very expensive perfume and told her, "Honey, I give you this that when the night of your wedding comes, you will pour this one over yourself and over your husband, and this will set the blessing into your house and into your marriage." When you do that to a girl, she will have dreams. She will have plans. I am sure this girl thought to herself, "Soon my Prince Charles will come my way and we will get married. We will have children. People will respect us. People will know us. However, this girl had a problem. A problem that I faced, a problem that many of you have faced and you are facing today. Her father never told her, honey, you are a pretty young lady. You are gorgeous. There will be a man that will die to have you. She never heard those words. I am sure her father said, honey, I really don't have much hope for you that any man wants you. I know some of you sitting here, you heard those words. I know that for sure. Now, because she didn't hear those words from her dad, because she was not loved by her own father, she started to look for that love somewhere else. She went from one man to another, to another, to another, to discover that they are all the same. They took advantage of her, and the next day when they left her, her dream got shattered more and more and more, to a place that now she is actually, when you read the gospel, you see there is no name attached to this girl because she was a no-name somebody. She had no value for the society. She was worthless in her own society. If she was walking down the street and somebody was walking toward her, they would do their jackets like this and walk away not to see this unclean woman. I am sure some of you young men and women today at the school, that's the story of your life. She felt worthless. She was labeled as the woman who is a sinner. And then all of a sudden, a man showed up named Jesus, going around and healing people and blessing people and mending the broken hearts and have compassion on the needy and on the sinners who were labeled just like herself, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, on and on it goes. She said to herself, this could be the man that I am looking for. And then she heard that Jesus is at the house of a Pharisee, a religious man. Now, Jesus had a reputation that he was a friend of prostitutes, drunks, and tax collector. How could a Pharisee, a religious man, invite a man who is a friend of the sinners? The Bible doesn't tell us what motivation Simon had. The Bible doesn't explain to us if he was interested in Jesus' ministry or he wanted to find a reason to condemn Jesus. We don't know. Whatever reason that was, he was invited to his house, and Jesus accepted the invitation. Now, you might question me why Jesus accepted to go to a religious freak's house. The Bible said that Jesus came to seek and to find which is lost and to save him. The word of God is for everyone. The love of God is for everyone. There is no segregation of this is black, this is white, the word is for the Jews or not for the Gentiles. Jesus came to save which is lost, which is us. Thank you, Jesus. So this woman that has no name, she heard that Jesus is at the house of this man. Now you got to understand, in that culture, women are not allowed to go to any gathering when there is a public gathering. In this case, it was a private invitation. It was a guest of honor, which is Jesus in this case. But she hears that Jesus is there. Also in the same culture, see, they all speak both sides of the mouth. On one hand, they say a woman is not allowed to come. But on the other hand, when there is a guest of honor and sitting there in your house in order to show off, to open the door for public to come and see how good you are. Now, if this afternoon that door opens up and the prostitute walks in. And I don't think you need me to describe how a prostitute will look like. I assure you that every head will turn this way. And I assure you, we all will have a gasp of air and say, how can it be? This afternoon, many of us, we are sitting here. We are behaving while we are here. But when we walk out, we have lots of comments to make about other people, about each other. Did you see his earrings? Did you see her nose ring? And did you see the tattoo? Did you see that? We are no different than them back then. Imagine if a prostitute walks here, a gay and a lesbian walks here. How would we react? But she didn't care. She knew that the answer is Jesus. When she heard Jesus is at that house, she said, I better run to this Jesus because she is the answer. She said that he is the answer. He is the one that mends the broken hearts. He is the one that loves. He is the one has compassion. He is the one that is the answer to all of my needs. She started to run. As she was running, all of a sudden she remembered something. She paused and changed direction. Instead of going toward the house of Simon, she ran to her own house. And she grabbed her only and only one treasure that was precious to her. And it was all of her dreams, all of her shattered dreams, that perfume. And grabbed it and started to run again. And arrived to the house. And I am sure as she arrived to the house, every head turned toward her. Everybody said, how can it be? But she didn't care. She walked to Jesus. She dropped herself at the feet of Jesus. And she cried and she cried. Friends, that was not the cry of pain. That was the cry of joy that finally I found him. And she poured her tears over Jesus' feet and dried it with her hair and then perfume on his feet. Here is a woman, he's a no-name, worthless. All of a sudden, Jesus touches her. Jesus speaks to her. And Jesus said, go, your sins are forgiven. See, Simon looked at this woman and saw the shameful past that this woman had. Jesus looked at this woman, an awesome future that he had for her. Hallelujah. However, there is a sacrifice to be made. See, Jesus' love is unconditional. He poured it over all. He gives it to all, no matter black, white, pink, yellow, gay, lesbian. Doesn't matter. He came for that reason. But his forgiveness is conditional. His forgiveness is conditioned to yours and my acceptance. Until you and I, we accept his forgiveness, we will not experience his love. Imagine this. You committed a crime and your sentence is death or life sentence, whatever that might be. For some reason, the judge will turn to you and say, you know what? You are forgiven. There is no sentence for you. Imagine if you say, I don't want that. I'd rather stay in prison. See, the offer is before all of us. Christ has offered it to the whole world. But we have to receive it first in order to be experiencing His love. So this afternoon, if you're sitting here and you never ever asked Jesus into your heart, I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes. You know, that white boy last week messed it up. Do you remember he said that when you close your eyes, the pastor said, raise your hand, and then even if there is no one, you say, I saw that hand, I saw that. So I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes. However, this I'm going to say to you. I am not ashamed of the name of Jesus. Because the day that the whole world rejected me, Jesus came to that room and said, I love you. And I'm here to tell you that the same Jesus is talking to you, say, it doesn't matter who loves you, who doesn't love you, who cares for you, who doesn't care. I, the Lord of all creation, I am in love with you. It is up to you if you to receive Him or you reject Him. Some of us, we have given our hearts to Jesus long ago, but because of life circumstances or because of whatever came our way, we became just like that Simon the Pharisee. We have learned the tricks of the trade, as per se. We have learned the scriptures and we know how to quote the scriptures to this and to that. But the moment we see somebody needy and broken come in, the first thing we do, that is not a place for you. May I encourage you today, turn to Jesus. Be just like Jesus. Jesus wants to save this world through you and me, and there is no other plan. Let Jesus take your skin on and do His business. Amen. Let's stand to our feet again. Ministry team, could you come?
We hope that you've enjoyed this week's message. If you would like more information, please visit us online at www.krt.org. Thanks and God bless.